Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Chris Stevens, Glenn Doherty, Sean Smith, Tyrone Woods. Two of their families have called us and said, please don't take us down this path again. It's really hard. For them, it's very sad.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
It is the Savage Nation.
Not to work.
Now, on Friday, I offered $1 million U.S. to buy the Sistine Chapel ceiling from the Vatican. Thus far, I have not heard from the Vatican, nor have I heard that the Sultan of Brunei or anyone else has outbid me for the Sistine Chapel ceiling. But I know the Pope wants to reapportion wealth in the world through the United Nations. He said so. In order to cover up the many scandals that the priests have been involved in, without getting graphic, there's too much of it as it is. And we talked about that. And I'm not going to review that again, but I wanted to bring you up if you missed the Friday show. And I want to tell you something. I have 10 articles that caught my eye over the weekend. I'm not going to overwhelm you the first second to show you how hard I work, but I will in a few minutes. I got better sound than anybody in the business. I'm going to start in a leitmotif at noon on Monday here on the West Coast, 3 o'clock on the East, with a little something else, and that's this. Over the weekend, I went to Barnes & Noble, and I bought some magazines and some books. What did I buy? First thing I ran for was the Quarterly Journal of Military History, my new favorite magazine, and the headline is, Who Lost the War, Hitler or His Generals? I had to read that one because revisionist historians say that Hitler destroyed the military through his impulsiveness and his foolishness and his lack of intelligence. While this article argues to the contrary, the generals themselves were incompetent. In other words, they were all crazy, and they were all very lucky in the beginning. And was it not for the Soviet Union and its massive forces that this moron, crazy, racist lunatic took on, and was it not for the lunatic declaring war on the United States, Hitler might have won World War II, God forbid, which is an interesting supposition. I then read about how Cortez defeated the Mexicans, what he did to defeat them, how he worked with tribes within Mexico to overturn the leaders of Mexico at the time. In other words, just like our leaders are working with the enemy invaders and are succeeding beyond their wildest dreams without causing a revolution in the country, they're just on the cusp of granting amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. What you don't understand is that the leadership in this country is so totally corrupt that they're selling us out to a foreign power. You don't understand that it's very, very much akin to the perfect storm in 1521 when Cortez destroyed the Mexican Empire. Obama, Reid, Pelosi et al. Are the equivalent of Cortez, and they're working to destroy the American nation as we know it. Because should they succeed with the Republican sellouts in granting an amnesty to these millions of illegal aliens, I estimate 30 million, with chain migration it could be as high as 60 million, there will be no America anymore. It will be gone right in your lifetime. And then I bought some other books to show you my interest levels. The Lost Worlds of the Vikings. I was interested in a little bit more on the Vikings. I'm considering a Viking funeral for myself at the end of the line. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it for years. You know, boat, fire, out in the lake, the whole thing. And I always liked Greenland. Always liked the Viking culture. And then I bought these books. When the Mob Ran Vegas, Theories of Money, Mayhem, and Murder. Loved reading that one on the Cal Neva Lodge and Frank Sinatra. I'll tie it into politics in a few minutes. And then finally, to top it off, I bought another book, a bargain-priced book for $7.98. I only buy bargain-priced books. I recommend you buy only new books when I write them, but bargain books otherwise. The Mafia, First-Hand Accounts for Inside the Mob by Frankie Saggio, Joey Black, Donnie Brasco, Albert DeMeo, Richard Kuklinski, and many more, edited by Nigel Cawthorn and Colin Cawthorn. And the first chapter is about the word Mafia and from where it derives. I thought that was very interesting to show you where my mind was at over the weekend. And then one last little personal note. If you want to talk about any of these topics, please, you can, you can't. I'll read the headlines in a minute. It's a radio talk show, so it can go in any direction I choose to put it in. It usually has to go in a direction in which I'm interested. Otherwise, you're not interested. If I'm interested, you're interested. If I'm just mailing it in, which is what's going on today in the media, you're not going to be interested, which is why the media is collapsing, because everyone's mailing it in. By and large, same old headlines every day, same stories you can get on Drudge or anywhere else in 2 seconds. Why do I need to repeat that for you? I don't, so I don't. This morning, I wake up with a shocking dream, and I don't know what it was from reading or watching something. I'm standing in Nazi Germany as the Nazis are coming to power. It's me in real time now, but it's then. In other words, I had a forward-backward thing. I'm standing there on a bridge watching the Nazis march by in their crisp uniforms, so many of them, and I'm praying to God that they don't discover that I'm not a Nazi. And I'm standing there terrified that they're going to look at me and know that I'm not a Nazi. And they're going to take me in and do horrible things to me. Now, I know why I had that dream, because I feel like I'm living in an occupied nation. Everywhere I go in America, I feel as though I'm living in an occupied nation. I didn't say occupied by Nazis, but the dream is quite profound in terms of its comparables to what's going on under Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the other fascisti, who are pretending in the name of the downtrodden and the poor to build a totalitarian regime unlike any ever seen in the United States of America. And I want to remind you of something. If they could destroy the doctors, which they've done, if they could take on the doctors and the hospitals and the insurance companies, which they've done, and crush them, then they can crush anybody, and they know it. They have almost completed their revolution. Not quite. There are a few impediments to this liberal fascist revolution. And one of the greatest impediments to them right now is the Second Amendment. They're terrified of it. Witness the back off at the Bundy Ranch standoff. Harry Reid backed off because he didn't want to shoot men, women, and children with his SS squad, the Bureau of Land Management, who was the equivalent of the SA or the SS. The BLM thugs with their scope rifles aimed at the children and the women were the equivalent of his own personal SS bodyguard. They were ready to pull the trigger, and somebody wisely said, do not do it. That was one indicator. But am I getting too far afield here? Did I lose you already in the audience? Are you interested only in the gay basketball player? I mean, that's a story for you? That's an interesting story to you? Not to me. I don't give a damn. I think him kissing a guy in public went a long way towards confusing young boys, incidentally. Okay? That's number one. But I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it. But the liberal fascists have almost completed their takeover of the entire world with the liberal revolution. There are only a few impediments. One is the Second Amendment, as I was just saying. And on a national level, the only thing that stands in their way of a complete domination of the world is Russia, which is why they forced Russia into a corner thinking that Russia would capitulate to Ukraine becoming a part of NATO and then putting NATO troops on Russia's border to further push Russia back within its own borders. But they didn't count on Putin's strength. They didn't count on Putin's nationalism. And they didn't count on the fact that Putin would say, no, I'm not rolling over to Barack Obama and the degenerate perverts in the Brussels establishment. The child molesters in Brussels and Obama together may have crushed the whole world, but they're not crushing me. That's what Putin thought. So were it not for Russia, there'd be a worldwide liberal revolution that would be complete right now. The emerging new Soviet Union is liberal today. Say, liberal doesn't mean the same thing, does it? It does. It means exactly the same thing. It means government control of everything you think, everything you say, everything you eat, everything you breathe, everything you drink, controlled by a centralized power. That's what the liberal revolution means. Centralized power. No individual liberties. So they confuse you into thinking that if you can have sex with anybody that you want at any time, you're free. What you don't understand is they've enslaved you with this free sex. They've enslaved you by telling you that your freedom consists of sexuality only. While in all other spheres, you have almost no freedom. You're a complete and total drone. You are watched all the time. You're spied upon all the time. You are suspicious. You are looked upon suspiciously by the centralized government all the time. The only thing they allow you to have is sexual freedom. And then they drug you if you get nervous. If you get even a hint that you really are a slave in the New World Order. They drug you to death. Your anxiety is called this. Your anxiety is called that. They drug our boys. Primarily our boys are put on these psychoactive compounds for illnesses that don't even exist. They make up illnesses, ADD, ADHD. They overdiagnose them, and then they drug our boys when they act like boys. And so this is the overview to what I see going on in the world. And it's what motivates me to get up in the morning and to deliver the message the best way I can. And yes, I'm going to tell you right now, I worked all weekend on my book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I worked on it all weekend, and things came so clearly to me, primarily because I'm in sharp focus right now as to what's going on in the world and how far Obama's gotten when he should have been impeached at least 2 years ago for what he's done. One impeachable crime after another was ignored by the spineless cowards in the media and the spineless, non-existent people in the Republican Party. Now, what is it that they're doing is they're taking on the Benghazi issue as the biggest scandal of all. Do you actually believe Benghazi is the biggest of Obama's scandals? Now, you well know that if the Republicans have agreed to appoint a special committee, they're not going to get anywhere. You already know that the fix is in. You know it's going to be a show trial, like a Stalin show trial. They'll find nothing, and they'll say this must never happen again, and then they'll move on. They will have appeased their base. Nobody will go to jail. But it's not Obama's biggest crime, not Benghazi. The biggest crime is spying on Americans with total and absolute freedom to spy on everybody. It's a violation of every principle that America stands for. Spying on Americans is un-American. Spying on Americans with impunity is un-American. Spying on every American would excite any American. Even the lowest dummy, the morons who watch basketball games and follow that, let's say that it's so important. Even that moron doesn't want to be spied on. Even that low IQ moron would understand being spied on secretly by a government, and he wouldn't like it. That idiot in New York City, that moron walking next to you on the streets of Manhattan, even that moron with earplugs on, even that nymphomaniac across the street who knows nothing except what pulses between her eyes, even that idiot would not want to be spied upon. But Benghazi means nothing to them. So they've picked the wrong hearing. At least it's one man's opinion. When I come back, I will read you the news headlines, none of which were described just now in the beginning of the Savage Nation. The phone number here, if you care to join the conversation, is 855-400-7282. This is Nonstop to the Truth with Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
But I'm concerned that we've not pushed the Europeans hard enough to take a firmer line against the Russians. And our allies in the region are scared to death. What Putin is doing is making the world less safe, and certainly in making Europe less safe.
Okay, so there's John Boehner, Clink. He's on message with the War Party. The War Party is both parties. They're tied into the government media complex, the military-industrial complex, and they want possibly a limited engagement with Russia, because just think how good that would be for the defense stocks. Just think about rearmament, what that would mean. I mean, in between putting transgenders on submarines, they might actually build a new weapon. In between putting women into submarines and taking out torpedo tubes so they can have new showers, they might actually have to build, let's say, a stealth submarine or whatever. So now you understand that there's no difference between the main parties. Again, they're demonizing Putin and Russia, when in fact the reverse is true. It's the U.S. and the EU that push Russia to become militant. Make no mistake about it. That's the way it is. I don't care what the propagandists are reporting. I'm telling you how I see it. They got it upside down and backwards. This country has become a nation run by warmongers in both parties. Now, Rand Paul sold out over the weekend. I told you to watch out for that character. I didn't trust him. I know he was a darling of the wall banger and others in the media, but I warned you he was a sneak. Rand Paul gave an interview to the Old York Times on Friday where he said, voter ID is offending people. Quote, he said, everybody's gone completely crazy on this voter ID thing, Paul told the New York Times. He said, I think it's wrong for Republicans to go too crazy on this issue because it's offending people. So he thought he'd curry favor with the black activists and the Hispanic activists. Instead, they told him to go to hell, in plain English. They said, we don't care what you said. You're not the right person for that message. We're not giving you any credence whatsoever. So in other words, he violated all the principles upon which he allegedly stands. He says that voter ID laws are wrong. He says the Republicans shouldn't push the voter ID law thing. He says the American people are wrong for caring about voter ID. And then he says he goes before black pastors, and they say, you know what, we don't care what you say. We don't like you. This should teach you that you can't appease your enemy. Never. Wait, it gets even better. Eleanor Clift, you may not know her. She's an old hag who used to work for Time magazine, a real left-wing fanatic from the get-go. I had an interchange with her on television in the 90s. She's a nobody. She's apparently still alive, or they got her with some new medication. They got her out of the crypt, some kind of new injection of a rat's serum, and she was on the McLaughlin group, and she says that Chris Stevens, the ambassador to Benghazi, to Libya, was not murdered. He died of smoke inhalation, and it's all because of the YouTube video. Okay? Now we'll let that sit down. Now here's the best one of the day. I swear to God. UK Guardian says that the reason for Boko Haram kidnapping and raping and selling Nigerian girls as slaves is because of climate change. That's right. Britain's Guardian newspaper has come up with a novel explanation for the kidnapping of over 200 Christian schoolgirls in Nigeria. Now, of course, you know, it's a religious war of fanatical Muslims against Christians. But according to the Guardian's Nafiz Ahmed, the real culprit is climate change. That's the reason. So Ahmed refuses to acknowledge the militancy of radical Islam. He said it's climate change. So I'm reading you this for a reason. It's because the left, which pushes climate change, the Muslims are now pushing climate change because it fits neatly for both of them. They get a twofer out of it. They overturn the West through guilt and liberalism, and then they sell a bill of goods that's completely false. And number three, they get a threefer out of it. You don't recognize that Islamic extremists are threatening to take over the whole world. Maybe when you're on a prayer rug, praying to Mecca, you'll come to understand what happened in your life, you moron, you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you? Blue Monday.
Yeah, I told you what my interests are. Who lost the war? Hitler as generals, the Vikings of history, when the mob ran Las Vegas, the mafia, first-hand accounts from inside the mob, and the origin of the word mafia. And the reason I'm interested and fascinated by organized crime is because the government that we have right now is the closest thing I've ever seen to a criminal enterprise in my lifetime. I mean, I know governments are all powerful and overbearing. We understand that's what a government means. They boss you around. They tell you what to do. But there are relatively benign, relatively mildly corrupt governments that have checks in place for their corruption. And then what we have now under Obama is sort of free for all of criminality. What would you call a $1 billion loan to someone in the solar business who doesn't produce anything but a kilowatt? Don't you understand how this is working? And so we're very close to a nation that's being taken over by... By what? By what? And when are the people going to stand up, and what will happen when they do? If you read the history of Sicily as produced by Giuseppe Bonanno or Joe Bananas, boss of one of the five families of New York, he wrote it in his own autobiography, A Man of Honor, what the whole story was about the self-defense leagues that became the mafia in Sicily. In essence, they were standing up to a government that was corrupt and overbearing. And then that didn't really help very much because they were not that interested in the idea of nationhood. I'm reading what Bonanno wrote. The concept of nationhood never stirred them deeply. It was a vague concept that required men to give their highest loyalty to an abstract entity, the nation, rather than to their families, which were flesh and blood. It would require men to fight foreign wars on behalf of the national state, to fight strangers for whom one had never received a personal affront or injury, to fight people one didn't even know. And then he writes this. Sicilians are among the most idealistic people on earth, but they are not abstract. They like things on a human scale. They believe in personal, not abstract honor. And then he goes into the story of insurrections against the dominant cultures. And they created an organization under Garibaldi called the Red Shirts, creating a volunteer army to liberate Sicily from the invaders. I don't know if you know it, but Sicily was invaded numerous times, which is why the Sicilian people are such a tapestry, genotypically ranging from tall, blue-eyed, blonde-haired individuals from when the Vikings conquered the island to other, genotypes. And so, he says, Italy was the last major country in Europe to be unified under a native ruler. I mean, I could talk about Boko Haram, I could do the wall banger, go on and on about how bad it was that they wouldn't declare it to be a terrorist. Ah, come on, leave me alone. You want to do baby talk, turn on the wall banger. Go listen to him, put some staples into your head. Let him nail some plasterboard to your brain. You want to listen to someone put plasterboard on your brain, listen to the wall banger. How easy can it be to talk about, the abducted schoolgirls, like he's going to do something. Let him go strap a uniform on and parachute into the jungle. All the loudmouths, they're going to take on the school, the Boko Haram. They want your son to go die for them again. So I'd rather talk about this. So then the Italians, and the Sicilians rather, were dominated by foreign powers. And of course they didn't like them. And I read this again. This is amazing. I didn't know any of this. And what it is they put together organizations to defend themselves against the foreign invaders, the tough guys of that time. And I'll read what Bonanno said in his book, A Man of Honor. He says, in my grandfather's time, Sicily was under the dominance of the Bourbon dynasty, a royal family of Spanish and French ancestry. Italy itself was like a jigsaw puzzle with the pieces owned by various powers. And then he talks about what happened. Garibaldi catalyzed the unification movement by enlisting a volunteer army to liberate Sicily. Listen carefully, please. These volunteers, a motley crew of idealists and zealots, wore a distinctive garb and became known as the Red Shirts. In 1860, Garibaldi's enthusiastic band, some 1,000 strong, landed in Marsala on the west coast of Sicily. Although the Red Shirts were vastly outnumbered by the Bourbon army, they had the backing of the populace. And he talks about his grandfather, who sided with Garibaldi in order to overthrow the hated Bourbons. And then he said the ranks of the Red Shirts also swelled with Sicilian youngsters, the Picciotti, the young ones. What happened then? Well, that is how they fought against the Bourbons and won. And then Garibaldi wanted to forge an Italian national state which had never existed. What happened, though, is that there was no nationhood. They got rid of the House of Bourbon only to make themselves subject to the House of Savoy. One ruler departs, another takes his place, Bonanno writes. And what am I trying to tell you? You get rid of the House of Obama and you replace it with the House of Boehner. What happens then? One rulership departs, another rulership takes its place. Tell me the big difference right now between the Obamaites and the other side. Tell me the difference that it would make in this country. If the Republicans are about to throw the country to the wolves of illegal aliens and destroy our sovereignty with a breath, telling the people to drop dead, we don't care what you think, then we've lost our democracy already. So if the Republicans are ready to do it this August, and why do you think Boehner, the sellout, the drunk, whatever you want to call him, is suddenly saying we must pass amnesty in August? Because you'll be asleep. Either you'll be in summer camp or the summer camp of your mind. It's usually the August at the Hotel Savage in August. And everyone's asleep. And these corrupt politicians will cater to the illegal aliens, the Better Business Bureau, in order to make certain that there's cheap labor, not caring really who wins, because it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which party really wins. That's only to excite you into thinking it matters. When you see Rand Paul already selling out over the week, what difference does it make? I would like to believe that the Republicans are slightly less corrupt, slightly more patriotic. I'd like to believe that they would enforce voter ID laws. I'd like to believe that they'd be less militant towards Russia. I'd like to believe they'd be more militant toward radical Islam, but they aren't. So where am I supposed to go with this? I don't know. You'll have to figure it out yourself. I'm only one man, one of hundreds of millions on this earth, and one of billions on this planet. Rather, one of hundreds of millions in this nation, and only one of billions on the planet. What difference do I make? What difference does it make, after all, what I think? What difference does it make, after all, what I think? Well, we have such brilliant leadership waiting in the wings to take over from Obama. What difference does it make, at the end of the day, whether it's the Bourbons or some other ruling power that rules over us, and in our lifetime steals not only the First, Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth Amendment, but all of them. In addition to stealing our sovereignty, they steal our freedoms themselves. What difference does it make, after all, if you can still have sex with anyone you want? What difference does it make if you can still smoke marijuana day and night or snort cocaine when that's legalized? What difference does it make if your son can still take that Ritalin or Adderall? What difference does it make if your daughter is pushing a baby carriage with a poodle in it instead of a grandchild? What difference does it make if the world came to an end as you know it in your lifetime because you were so lazy? What difference does it make, after all? Just go along and get along. Talk about the food in France. Talk about the important things. Provence. Talk about how you visited France, or you're going there this spring, and you're gonna enjoy the wine and the food, and how America is such a third world bumbling nation, and how our food is terrible, and how superior the French cuisine is. Talk about how wonderful the Italian countryside is. Do things that are really important. Talk about the color of your car. Talk about Monsanto as the pure evil. I ride around my neighborhood on my bicycle. I can't believe the idiocy. They look intelligent. Look at the men. They look intelligent. Tall, good-looking, wife, children. They look like they're smart. They went to college. And the bumper sticker says Monsanto on it. I said, okay, that's the biggest problem on the earth now. The other idiot has Keep Tahoe Blue. I don't know anybody who wants to make Tahoe red. You know, the only anybody who wants to make Tahoe gray or red. Have you met anybody in your life who wants to actually pollute Lake Tahoe? I haven't met them yet. But the self-righteous liberals write, Keep Tahoe Blue, like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like you go by them on the highway, you wave and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Yeah, I was the one who made, sorry, I polluted Lake Tahoe. Right, I put the algae in there. Oh, I'm sorry, I really do want to make it blue. Sorry. I want to keep it blue. I'm not one of those evil Republicans. I want to keep Tahoe Blue. Only Democrats want to keep Tahoe Blue. Yeah, please don't shoot the polar bears on the way out of the Arctic, please. Do me a favor. Please don't shoot the last polar bear on the way out of the Arctic. Let me adopt one. So these are some of the thoughts that are in my mind. I hope that you understood where I was coming from in reading the history of Sicily and the origin of Mafia, my daughter, if that's what you want to call it. And I'm interested in these subjects. I can find relevancy to everything going on in my world by reading about who won the war, Hitler or his generals. Or I can read about the history of Sicily and learn about the history of America today. I can, different things like that. In other words, you come at it from different perspectives. Because otherwise, if you just read the same websites that everyone else in radio is reading, what are you going to hear that you haven't heard already? I don't have to knock the other people or tell you I'm different. I know I'm different. As they used to say, Michael, God broke the mold when he created you. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, they broke the mold, all right. And I'm not going to tell you any meatball stories. I'm not going to tell you about Teddy today. I'm not going to tell you about my medical problems. No, nothing. Nothing. It's not your business. Why should I tell you about that? And yet 2 minutes later, I may tell you about it. When I decide that I'm bored of politics, and I may have to tell you about my medical complaints, how to make leftovers and my new diet. My anti-inflammatory diet, the most horrible diet I've ever been on in my life. Horrible. I'm trying to alter my diet to cut down inflammation in my body. I never lived like this in my life. I hate it. I can't eat bread. I can't eat anything I like. Everything I like inflames me. I had a doctor friend, Dr. Cathcart, one of the great geniuses of our time, who said that we're addicted to that which is bad for us. I said, you're right about that. He's everything that we eat or drink that we really love is terrible for us, that we love. He's right. You know, it's like, I love strawberry shortcake. I haven't had it in 30 years, 40 years. I'll never eat it. I get sick, headache, migraine, whatever. I know to avoid that, but you try to eliminate foods that trigger certain things in your body, it is a murderous diet. Ooh, salad? It almost isn't worth living, eating on salads. I mean, I know if I lived on fruits and vegetables, I'd be much healthier. I'd lose 25 pounds, the LDL, HDL, all the lipids become happier. I die. I'm a dead man. So, no, I have not given up the one or two drinks per night. It used to be when I was younger. I used to boast that I liked the British Medical Society's view of moderate alcohol intake, which was 5 absolute alcohols an evening. I like the British. That's when I still like the British. We were told that a sensible amount of alcohol was 1 to 2 ounces, right, per night, like two drinks. And I said, well, I follow the British Medical Society, which is 5 drinks. That was their idea. I think I may move to the Russian model, which is 3 bottles of vodka a week, I think. No, they die under 50 for overdrinking. Alcohol is a terrible killer, no question about it. But no, I will not give up the 1 to 2 drinks. So I switched from fish, which inflames the heck out of me. I'm ill after fish. Would you believe it? No more omega-3s for me. No fish. Now I'm eating meat. So Saturday night I have a steak, the first one in 10 years or 5 years. And Sunday night I go to my favorite Basque restaurant. Instead of having his great fish, I order lamb chops. I never felt better in my life. I was raised on lamb chops. My mother would feed me lamb chops before my father came home. She fed him the cheaper cuts of meat. She fed him pot roast. I got the lamb chops. She didn't want it to see that I was getting the expensive cuts of meat. I was man-child in the promised world. He was just, you know, poor immigrant. I was born here. She figured, you know, his die is cast already. Maybe something will happen to my son's life that'll make us happier. So she fed me the food that would normally, if you took an animal and you wanted to conduct a cardiovascular experiment to see how fast you could kill it through food, you would have put it on the savage of the diet of the young savage, which I'm not going to repeat. It's true. You would kill an average, let's say, pig in an experiment in a laboratory with what I ate. But you don't understand something. It's not about cholesterol. It has nothing to do with cholesterol. That's the greatest myth of your life. It's like the greatest myth in your life is to be watching your cholesterol. Oh, my HDL. Oh, my LDL. Oh, take Lipitor. Oh, take this. Oh, take that. They got you jumping like a lab rat. It's your LPA. Most of your doctors never heard of LPA. Lipoprotein A. You cannot modify it with vitamin C. You can't modify it with Lipitor. You can't modify it with vitamin E. Nothing will change your LPA. And I didn't understand why I wasn't dead. So I finally found out a few years ago that my LPA, ask your doctor to run it, is very low, which is genetic. Mom in heaven, you lived to 88. My dad died young, grandfather. So thank God I have low LPA. Now everything else is wrong, but I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It is 55 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the voice of Michael Savage, who the AP referred to as a newcomer in radio. They're in an article on talk radio today, and they said other newcomers in radio, such as Michael Savage, dummies. I've been in radio since 1994. What a bunch of losers. The liberals are really stupid. They're not as smart as you think. They just outnumber us. John on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I want to take issue with your comparison of Sicily and the, up into the 1800s, 1860s, when Garibaldi, you mentioned, invaded. He unified Italy. I don't know if Italy's ever been unified. I'm Neapolitan. I'm from Naples. The Sicilian, we don't even consider them Italians. They're completely different. They're an embarrassment in this country. We had...
Whoa. I'm not going to... John, you can't say that. You can't make broad sweeping statements about Sicilian people and say all of this or all of that. You know that that's not right.
They preyed on other Italians, the Black Hand, and you've seen the
Well, we know, we understand there was a criminal gangster element amongst the Sicilians, but that's not, doesn't speak for the whole people.
Well, you're talking about the island and how they rose up against the invaders. We've never been invaded, you know.
Okay, but John, here's the thing. Without denigrating an entire nation of people, what I was trying to tell you is that they rose up against invaders. And unless the people in this country rise up, we will not defeat the invaders who have taken over the country. And I am saying, I don't care whether they call themselves Democrats or Republicans, it looks to me like they are an invading force of a foreign power like the Bourbons. That's what I was trying to say to you, to the audience. That's all I was saying. The Bourbons. I'll have it with straight water, please. No ice.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day.
It is The Savage Nation, hour two, across America. Calling me a newcomer at AP. Newcomer to talk radio, Michael Savage. Well, I guess that's good. They never heard of me 20 years later. I'm an overnight success. It only took me 20 years to be the overnight success. Here's some topics that maybe you want to talk about, since you're not interested in the Vikings, the Mafia. You're not interested in Las Vegas. You're not interested in flying. You're not interested in who lost the war, Hitler or his generals. Here's a topic you may be interested in, which is Hagel is open to transgenders in the military. How do you feel about Mr. Hagel saying that it's time to consider transgenders in the military? No interest to you. Okay. Rand Paul sold out on immigration. You think this interview is Paul's way to gauge how his followers react? He doesn't represent borders, language, and culture. Rand Paul threw away his candidacy over the weekend by saying that we shouldn't get obsessed with voter ID laws. Finally, the Pope's continuing push for Marxism. Did any of your church leaders discuss this on Sunday? Did any of you bring it up in your church, either to other parishioners or to the priest, about this Pope's push for Marxism? You know, and this is an interesting question. I have a friend who's extremely Catholic. In fact, he went to Rome with a contingent of like 30 people a few weeks ago for an induction of some saints or whatever. Very Catholic guy. He says Francis is a communist, plain out. I said, I criticized him. He said, you should. I said, don't you feel offended as a non-Catholic that I criticized him? He said, no, he's clearly a communist. That's what he said to me. That's all. So I have something on that for you, because I know seems religious topics are very interesting to this audience. Here's a British Islamist who says Muslims should humiliate Christians to make them convert. You want me to get you crazy? You want to listen to what your Muslim friends actually think? Oh, not all of them. No. Just a few, a small number. No. The Islamists are a small minority of the Muslims. No, sure, they hijacked their wonderful religion. Yes, that is true. Well, that's a nice topic. Play clip number 9. Here is a gentleman in England telling us that a preacher in Britain, who is not banned from England — I'm banned from Britain, but this Abu Walid is not banned. The British Islamist is welcomed by the punks who run England, but they ban Michael Savage. And he's talking about how to humiliate Christians to make them become Muslims. Listen to clip 9.
Umar ibn Khattab, in his own charter, not charter of the United Nations, in his charter with the people of Sham, with those Christians of Sham, in his charter was, Kafir and Muslim, they're not allowed to wear the same clothes as one another. Rasulullah said, don't greet the Jews and the Christians before they greet you. And when you meet any of them on the roads, force them to go on the narrow side of it.
All right. Now let's see more from the radical Islamist in clip 10.
If the Muslim, he comes out on the day of Eid and he sees kafir with nice clothes, the kafir has to take his clothes off and give it to the Muslims. The kafir, when he walks inside the street, he has to wear a red belt around his neck, and he has to have his forehead shaved, and he has to wear two shoes which are different from one another. He's not allowed to walk on the pavement. He has to walk on. He has to walk in the middle of the road, and he has to ride on a mule.
Now, this is not a parody. This is a gentleman translating what a radical preacher of the Islamic faith is preaching in England right now, not banned by the government. They're interested in homophobia and things of that nature. They're making certain that the nation is safe for certain liberal attitudes, looking the other way as the Muslims continue to tighten their grip around the neck of the once great British Empire. Listen to next one, clip 11. This is going on.
And that's only for the adults, not for the children. And you can see how Islam would make the child become a Muslim. The kafir, or the child growing up in a state of kufr, he will turn to Islam. Why? Because the child will be walking along with his dad. They say, Dad, yeah? Why you got your forehead shaved? I don't know whether these Muslims that make me do it. Why you got to walk? Why can't you ride the animal like the Muslims? They walk like ride the animal like this. Why are you walking with both legs dangling on the side of the donkey? Why is it every time the Muslim comes to you, he asks you for your clothes, you give it? Why is it every time he tells you to get down from the horse, you have to take it?
Mm-hmm. Finally, in clip 12, listen.
What's Tracy going to do? John's in for a problem. He just let him in for a kebab, he lost his own wife as well. So everyone's going to become Muslim. That is, my dear brothers, the Islamic State.
That's, my dear brothers, the Islamic State. This is a man trying to blow the whistle on his radical brethren. And they haven't kicked this preacher out of England. I'm not allowed in England, and I really would have gone over one of these summers for the cuisine. I certainly would like to have enjoyed the famous British cuisine, and I was considering getting additional dental work, because I've always admired the dental work of the Kennedys, even though they're not originally from Britain. The dentures of the British are very well known around the world. So, there it is. There it is. There it is. Who's financing Boko Haram? Who is financing Boko Haram? See, no one's talking about that. Instead, Wallbang is telling you it's awful, they kidnapped the girls, and Hillary should have declared them a terrorist organization, blah, blah, blah. All well and good, but who's financing them? Well, there's a number of foreign groups funding them, including Britain's Al-Muntada Trust Fund and Saudi Arabia's Islamic World Society, according to David Dukan at the International Institute for Counterterrorism. Okay? That's very important. The funding of Boko Haram is a very important question. But why is Obama not sending drones into that area? You know, she held up a hashtag saying, bring back our girls, the first lady did. And in between travels around the world and bossing around her staff and preparing for her summer vacation, selecting her wardrobe and her hairdos, hanging out with whoever the first lady hangs out with, whatever, that one from television, whose name I forget. Oprah Winfrey. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say Oprah, did I? I meant Oprah. Oprah Winfrey. She hangs out with Oprah Winfrey, and in between that, she holds up a hashtag and says, bring back our girls. Great. Oh, man, the terrorists are shaking in their boots in the forests of Nigeria. Wow, man. Michelle Obama held up a hashtag, we better return those Christian girls now. Yeah. Well, how about a drone? Why can't she ask her old man to send some drones over to look for them? Why is Obama refusing to even send a drone over there? He sent a drone to Iran, courtesy of the U.S. Air Force, and gave it to them in 2009. Remember that? Now the Islamists say they've copied the drone entirely. It was the most advanced drone in the world. Obama sent it to them. I don't mean Obama. He's the head guy. Someone in the U.S. Air Force, a spy, a double agent, sent it to them on a silver platter. Remember they captured it whole without a scratch on it, like a new Buick, like from 1957 in a showroom, like a collector car, not even repainted? Brand new, not a scratch. The upholstery, he even had the plastic on it. It had the new drone smell. It had the new drone smell when the electronics were still in it. It smelled like factory made. They sent it to Iran, landed there, and they say they copied it now. Impeachable. Someone goes to jail. No. No, they're promoted. No one wants to talk about this stuff. So I'm gonna go back and drone on now then. What the heck? I'm gonna drone on about the Pope's Marxism. Since you're not interested in any of this. Remember I had a woman who called me who was so smart, and I asked her to tell me what she said in writing, and she did over the weekend. Dear Michael Savage, it was a great pleasure to speak with you today. I've been a listener since 1994. Whoa. As you requested, here is what I had written in response to Pope Francis's redistribution remarks, which include what I said on your program today. Here's what she said. I'll make it short. For all you Catholics out there, I want you not to be a lapsed Catholic for 2 seconds. I want you to touch that cross and listen carefully. Here's what she said. Pope Francis needs to read Pope Leo's encyclical on capital and labor, written in May 1891. You went to sleep. The minute I said 1891, you remembered history. You remembered dozing off in high school. You remembered the peeling paint on the walls. You remembered the nuns. But Pope Leo stated, the socialists working on the poor man's envy of the rich are striving to do away with private property and contend that individual possession should become the common property of all, to be administered by the state or by municipal bodies. They hold by thus transferring property from private individuals to the community. The present mischievous state of things, that is the gap between the rich and the poor, will be set to rights, inasmuch as each citizen will then get his fair share of whatever there is to enjoy. But were these plans carried into effect, the working man himself would be among the first to suffer. This was written in 1891 by Pope Leo. And I don't want to read you the whole thing. And he was trying to argue against communism before the communist revolution. But then he says that the authority of the divine law actually supports private property and the free market. Do you know that? Because he says, we shall not covet that which is another's. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his house, nor his field, nor his manservant. Nor his manservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. That doesn't apply in West Hollywood. Nor anything that is his. And in addition to injustice, it is only too evident that anyway, you get the picture. I hate quoting stuff. I get tripped up on it. And Pope Leo concluded by saying, neither justice nor the common good allows any individual to seize upon that which belongs to another under the futile and shallow pretext of equality. The entire document is worth careful reading by anyone who claims to be a Christian or a Catholic. I thought I'd share that with you. Pope Leo, encyclical on capital and labor, written in 1891. Unfortunately, the Russians didn't follow him. Unfortunately, the Chinese didn't follow him. Unfortunately, the Cambodians didn't follow him. And unfortunately, Obama and the communists now running America apparently didn't read Pope Leo. No siree, Bob. I could throw the phone number out now, ask for a call or two. I'm not going to do it. I could see it's dead out there. It's like a dead. I'm touching the wires into the circuitry of the savage mind, and there's no one out there. Is my audience dead? Where are they today? I got 10 lines. There's only 4 blinking. It's 5/12/2014 at 1:17 p.m. on the West Coast. Did everyone leave on vacation? Am I the last one left in America? Shall I not put the lights out when I leave? I mean, where is everybody? Should I not put the lights out in the Savage Nation when I leave? Because there doesn't seem to be anybody in this audience today. Where is everybody? I don't know where everybody went. I'm doing better shows than I've ever done in my life. And yet you don't care. You don't care. You don't seem to care about what I have to say. Mad Men, I don't watch it anymore. First season, loved it. Then it got worse. Terrible. Now they're pumping it like crazy every day. Who's the genius behind Mad Men? Oh, really? No, we don't watch it anymore. No one watches it. Died on the vine. I don't watch Game of Thrones. Can't stand it. It's pornography. Game of Thrones, that's all. Every day it's another hooker playing an ancient English harlot, getting stripped to the waist in order to get raped by somebody and then cutting someone's head off. That's television today. Hottest property. Game of Thrones. Boring. Could do without the dwarf. The whole thing. I don't like it. I don't like the chains. I don't like the cages. I don't like the swords. I don't like the sword clashes. I don't like the hookers. I don't like anything about Game of Thrones. Worst show on television. I'd rather read about Boko Haram than watch Game of Thrones. That's all. Everyone wants to talk now about Hillary and Boko Haram not being a terrorist group under Hillary. It's not a big topic. No one cares. Nobody cares. Don't you understand? They don't care what she did then. We're living in warp speed time where what they did years ago doesn't matter to them. Again, the Republican movement, the conservative movement, seems to be so slow moving. The symbol of the elephant for the Republican is not even apt. It's more like the mastodon. The symbol for the Republican Party should be changed from the elephant to the mastodon. And the symbol for conservative talk radio should be changed from the elephant to the hippopotamus. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Heat wave! That's what we're having out here on the West Coast, 100 degrees this week. That global warming sure took a while to get around to it, but going to make up for lost time. The 12th of May, and guess what? It's hot. Yes, indeed. Hot in California in May, first time in history. Normally it snows in May, but because of global warming, it's actually going to be hot in the spring in California. No, normally we have blizzards, snowstorms, but it's the weather disruption as a result of man's tampering with the environment and not spending enough money on illegal aliens and abortion. And solar projects. That's why we have the global warming, and that's certainly why we need The heat wave, heat wave, heat wave. I got my air conditioning ready to go. Remember when I moved to California, all the snobs who lived out here, when I said, I can't stand the heat. I'm going to put an air conditioner. Oh, no, we don't need air conditioning in Marin County. You don't need it, but I do. Oh, no, we don't need it. We have the fog. We have the fog. You know, you have the fog. You know what? You can take the fog and you know what you can do with it. Go to the Fog City Diner with it. We got the fog. Every house I own is just maxed out with air conditioners. So I use it 10 days a year. That's their business. I pay the bill, not them. Barbara Streisand uses air conditioning. Can't be that bad. I don't see her sitting around with a fan. So I'm ready for the, you know, I'm wearing my, I got my Hawaiian shirt on. I got a straw hat. I got the shorts. I don't know about you. I can't relate to men in shorts. I don't listen to, whenever a man in shorts says something, I don't really take him that seriously. It's like, he could be smart. He could be tough, whatever. He could whip my behind. I know, guy in shorts. I'm not afraid of men in shorts. I don't understand that. There's something about men in shorts that just takes away their authority. Unless it's, you know, like Peter Sellers playing a British officer or something in a movie or whatever. But that may have conditioned me to think that men in shorts were laughable. How about the Sultan of Brunei in shorts? They ruined the guy buys the hotel, now it's worthless? Who's going to rip it off from him now? Now the Sultan of Brunei, they drove all the A-listers out of the Beverly Hills Hotel because of Sharia law in wherever, Brunei, whatever, Sultan of Brunei, degenerate of the highest order. Low-life, degenerate bum. You talk about wealth. Sickening. Let the Pope go talk to him better. If you want from me, take his wealth. Room, 1,700 rooms, hookers from around the world, people looking for hookers everywhere, 1,000 cars, 1,200 airplanes based on oil money, you hear? And all he wants to do is have sex day and night. Sultan of Brunei. So he buys the Beverly Hills Hotel, but because suddenly the gays in Hollywood realize he's a bad guy, now they're boycotting and the hotel's empty. So no one's in the polo lounge. Looks like the polio lounge now. After they got through. It's like the polio lounge. Everyone's afraid of it. It's like getting an epidemic going in there. So who's going to buy it from him at a discount? Let's see which one of the Hollywood establishment rips it off.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Coming straight to me, Michael Savage, your radio talk show host. It's Monday. I guess you're not interested in anything. If I can hit you with 50 topics like this, with brilliant insights, with a great voice, with humor, and you're not interested, I think the world's gone. I mean, it's died. Well, yeah, tomorrow will be different. I don't know. Monday's weird. Very weird out there. Weird. People are like hungover, like monkeys. Years ago, they used to say that the ape house, the monkeys in zoos, they'd be lethargic on Monday because visitors to the zoos would throw them candy. And the primates would eat the candy and have a low blood sugar attack that next day. And they wouldn't want to be monkeys the next day. They wanted to lay around and say, who cares what they do? No, I don't care. I'm not even going to throw fecal matter at the people today. No, you can do it. You can have fun. Sam, you do all you want. All that throwing and that gooey stuff. I'm not doing it. We used to have a monkey at this. When the kids were young, we'd go to them. They would do that. Oh, they were smart. Mean. Monkeys were mean. They would throw their waste product at the crowd. You should see, I knew it was coming. I don't know why that came back to me. I guess I'm thinking about the average American voter today, and I think of them as throwing fecal matter at the Constitution and those of us who love the country. But it was horrible to see. You couldn't warn people of what was going to happen. They didn't believe you because they thought monkeys were friendly and nice. So I would go with the kids and forewarn them, don't get too close to the edge because the monkey's going to throw his doo-doo any second now. And the kids didn't believe you because they wanted to see the cute monkeys, and they would get close. I would hold them by the hand. We'd step back 20 feet. I said, wait. Within minutes of the crowd appearing around the monkey. Does anyone remember that at the San Francisco Zoo? The monkey would do that, pick up fecal matter and throw it at the crowd in a wide arc, like a wide receiver. Woo! And the crowd would go, ah! And men, women, and children splattered with the monkey's waste product. But we were safe. We were safe because we stood back 20, 30 feet. We didn't laugh at them, but I just told the kids, they're animals, and they're bored, and they want to get even with people who put them in the cage, so they throw their waste product at them. I don't know why that came to my mind. I really don't know how it relates to the show today. I don't know if it does. I don't get it. I just don't. Eleanor Clift, you know her? that old hag. I thought she had... Eleanor Clift was on the McLaughlin group over the weekend. She was old when I started in radio in 94. She was an old dried-up prune. And I never thought she'd get this, still be around. I mean, I'm glad she is. It proves to me that mean, stupid people can live a long time and still be talking. But apparently this hack for the Democrat Party said that Chris Stevens was not murdered, but he died of smoke inhalation. And the riots in Benghazi were because of a YouTube video. Can you believe this? This is really something. Then the Britain's Guardian newspaper says that climate change is to blame for the Boko Haram and Nigerian girls kidnapping. See, the propaganda is like the monkeys. Propaganda like this is like the monkeys in the outdoor cage at the San Francisco Zoo years ago. They continue to throw their waste products in your face, and you don't know what's coming. They're just like the monkeys in there. That's all right. I got it. It finally came to me. I'm an intuitive thinker and intuitive talker, so I was trying to put two and two together. I didn't know why my mind jumped back to that old days, years ago, in the monkey cage down there. It's probably illegal. I bet the monkeys would be arrested for some kind of, not racism, but some kind of speciesism for attacking humans with fecal matter. I don't know. Today, I don't even think the monkeys are aggressive anymore in San Francisco. No one's allowed to be aggressive. It's considered a crime against the establishment. So they continue to do it. They can keep throwing their waste products at us. Years later, they're still doing it. Still didn't attract your attention. Nothing. Gunner, zero. Nada. Balt, zero. All right. Look, you want me to just wrap it up for the day? We'll go to tape. We'll try again tomorrow. It's like a seminar. I'm giving you brilliance of the highest order. History, poetry, science, and nothing. Gunner, zero. Nothing. No one's listening. I don't know. Maybe the audience left. Could be I'll be out of business at the end of the month. I don't know. You don't know. People are fickle. What would I do then? I don't know. I'd probably retire, spend the rest of my life on a yacht reading about the Vikings, go to the Bahamas, keep my feet in warm water. I would imbibe alcohol, eat foods, rich foods, and just pass away. No one would know. I could do that. Imagine if I just did that, left radio, and just lived on a yacht. It would be such a boring existence. Oh, that'd be boring, man. I couldn't imagine anything more boring. Day and night eating and drinking, just on sitting on a yacht in the Caribbean or the Mediterranean. Wow. I don't understand people who... You know what I don't understand? Like, okay, I understand decadence up to a point. I can understand indulging now and again. But let's say a guy like the Sultan of Brunei. Day and night sex, day and night drink, day and night women, day and night this, day and night having people running around the world looking for women. I hear he reads magazines... Like Beauty Magazine says, I want her, I want her, I want her. And they go out and they get the models. They buy them to come and whatever for him, you know. Tell him she's going to pose for him. And then they wind up, you know. How could you do that day and night? How could you make your life like that? I don't understand that. Does it never wear off? I mean, does that desire not wear off? Once a week, couple of times a week, whatever. Every minute, that's all you do? You indulge your sexuality? You indulge your desire for drink and food? Doesn't that wear you out? Doesn't it get boring, rather? Boring. B-O-R-I-N-G. I don't know. I prefer working. To me, work is the greatest salvation. I learned that a long time ago. Work, work, work. It's the only salvation. Every sane, successful person I know works. They never retire. Never. Never. I never met a happy retired person. There's no such thing. Retired from what? Using your brain? How could you retire from thinking? My dreams are more electrifying than MGM's movies. I dreamed this morning, I told you, I was alive in Nazi Germany, standing on a bridge, and the Nazis were goose-stepping across the bridge, like tens of thousands of them. And I was terrified they would find out that I wasn't a member of the Nazi Party, and they would arrest me, Gestapo would arrest me. And like a dream, like I don't know why it happened, because I feel like that now in America. I feel like I'm standing on a bridge watching the marching liberal Nazis, that if you don't conform to their edicts, to their doxies, you can be found out and pointed out and then picked on, bullied by the liberal fascists in every way possible. They try to drive you out of radio, drive you out of television, drive you out of the corporation, drive you out of sports, unless you bend down to these liberal fascists. We are like living through a totalitarian administration. It's frightening. I'm not scared. I'm telling you, but my subconscious is scared. Me, I don't care. One way or the other, I don't care. But my subconscious, see, me and my subconscious are different. I'm not my subconscious. In that sense, I can function as in a duality. Me, I'm not scared. I could care less. Barbecue, shirt. But my subconscious, man, he's scared. Oh, yeah, the inner man is scared of this going, this what's going on in the society, how we've slipped under this demonic devil in the White House, how we have stumbled into totalitarianism under this devil in the White House. And everyone accepts it, either out of liberal guilt, drug addicts, or stupidity. I don't understand it. That's what I say. That's why I don't really care, like you. Why should I care? Why should I care? You care. You care. And then, of course, because Hillary's a woman, because she's not a man, she's qualified to be president. Have you heard anything as stupid as that in your life? Can anyone name one accomplishment of Hillary Clinton that would justify her to be president? I realize that that's no longer a valid question. Obama had no qualifications either. At least you could say with Bush, he was the governor of Texas. He said, all right. He did something. He was managing. Managed the state. Good. Qualification. Can see that. You can then judge his presidency any way you wish, but he had qualifications. Obama had zero. Hillary, okay, she was Secretary of State, and let's see, she set the Arab world on fire, and she brought us to a new Cold War. Oh, those are great. Yay! She's not a man. Make her a president. Make her president because she's not a man. That's very important. That's how smart America is. Yeah, okay. I don't like okra either as a vegetable. Let me tell you that. It's too gooey. I don't eat okra. Let's take some calls. All right. I don't think I've taken one call yet today. Not one. What is that? Took one call in almost 2 hours? Where are my listeners? Where'd they go? They've left me alone out here. You know what it is? It's because I'm so brilliant today and so captivating, there's no reason to call. They're saying, Mike, keep talking, please. We don't want to hear anyone call you. We don't tune in to hear a guy call from New York or San Francisco. Just keep talking. Well, you're a talker. You're great. You're the best at it. Keep it up, Mike. Keep it up. We got your back, Mike. You stay there. We got your back, Mike. We got your back, Mike. Don't worry. No one has your back. There's no one has your back in this world. Only God has your back. I was standing on my... I took my bike ride this morning, and I stood by the edge of the bay as the waves came in. They come in very mildly at the edge of the bay, out where I live sometimes. They don't come crashing. It's like slow, the river, the slow waves coming at the edge, filling up a beach. And I had to stop my bike, and I meditated on the waves coming in slowly. I watched them as they rolled in slowly, and I tuned into the wave energy, tuned into the wave energy. Not the picture of the waves, not the two-dimensional image of the waves, but I tuned into the wave energy. I stood there, got off my bike, dismounted. Stood there, opened my hands, opened up a Tai Chi pose. I let the waves enter my body, and I said, everything is in order. God is still running everything. Everything that is happening for a purpose. Everything that you see is supposed to happen. There is no stopping what's happening. They're just waves, incoming waves. Catch the wave energy, I said to myself. And everything that ails you right now, you can heal yourself by capturing the wave energy. Now, I'm not going to say something absurd like I got better and all my aches and pains went away, or they got worse. You know, I don't have to get burlesque about it. But the thing is, it was an amazing satori for me. S-A-T-R-I. I'm not talking about sartorial behavior or type of clothing. It was satori by the water side. So I'm in a kind of high clairvoyance moment. I could talk for 3 or 4 hours right now, 3 more hours on any subject. If I don't know the answer, I mean, the subject, I won't talk about it. You ask me about nuclear physics, I'm out of luck. You're out of luck. Electrical engineering, don't understand it. Chemistry, don't quite get it. How to put up wallboard, you'll have to go to another station for that. Where to apply the nail gun. Best places for the nail gun when applying wallboard, you'll have to go to Hannity for that one. I'm sorry, I defer to him on that. But any subject right now, now you'll start calling just when I'm about to go off the air major markets. There's nothing I could do about it. I just keep talking. I don't know. I feel like I got the energy came back into my body. I was dissipated. I felt it was gone. I felt I was on my like out of it. It was over. But today it just came back to me, just standing by the water. Why? How do you figure these things out? I have a nightmare in the morning about being in Nazi Germany, and they're going to find out I'm not a member of the Nazi Party and arrest me the way I feel in America day and night because Obama is a fascist dictator. Whether he's overt, covert, doesn't matter to me. The dictatorship is here. That's how I see it. One man's opinion, you don't like it, too bad. Go report me to the proper authority. I could care less about them as well. I still live in a free country. That's all. That's what I want to say to you. So I've just said it. I'm not going to goose step to Obama because you love him. I'm not going to goose step to the Democrat, fascist, socialist regime because I hate them. I hate them because they stand against everything that I believe in. Everything I believe in, I hate them. To their core. They're all evil and no good. They're corrupt. And they want to take away my freedoms. They're like the Nazis in my dream. But I go next to the water and I feel the energy. So how do you figure it out? The yin and the yang of a man's being. In the morning, the bad dream. In the afternoon, in the late morning, the waves. And I say, just tap into the energy of the waves. I did. How did I do that? How did I know to do that? How did I know how to do that? Born in the Bronx, no one taught me that. My father didn't take me next to the water and teach me to feel the waves' energy. Where'd that come from? How did I learn it? You learn certain things. You learn certain things. And you pray to God you're right. That's all. Pray to God you're right. One last thing I want to say before I take this break. When I was younger, and my kid was 5 or 6 or 7, I think, I was living in another state, and I met a martial artist who taught me that his martial artist would take him to a lion's cage. Did I ever tell you the story? And make him stand in front of the lion's cage and have the lion roar from behind the bars. Roar right in his face. Roar and feel the warmth of the lion's breath until it hit him, until the guy didn't quiver, didn't react. And he said, that's how we learn to stand up to an opponent. And as a result, I took my young son to the lion cage day after day. And I said, don't be afraid. He's only behind bars. Don't ever be afraid of a man yelling at you. Ever. Don't ever be intimidated. Okay, I'm going to take a break. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Another magazine I read over the weekend is Warships International Fleet Review, something that you wouldn't expect an ordinary talk show host to read. U.S. Navy secret ship, Kremlin Sevastopol power play. And then I stumble upon old Chuck Hagel, who once transgendered in the military and in the Navy. Chuck Hagel, by the way, in another time would have been arrested as a communist agent who was put in there to destroy our military. But today, no, he's a defense secretary. And he's going to trim the United States budget for the Pentagon, which will shrink the Army to its smallest size since 1940. Those of you out there who are too dumb to understand what I'm saying, I'll repeat it again. Those of you who follow those with bling on their brains, Chuck Hagel, in my opinion, is a communist spy, agent, double agent, should be arrested for sedition. He was put in place by the Obamaites, the girls from Harvard, Yale, NYU, Columbia, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, whose entire goal was to destroy the military and increase social services until there's nothing left of America. Not that we're hollowed out, but we can't defend ourselves. So as you well know, they want to cut the budget by $75 billion over the next 2 years. What that would mean is the Army will shrink to its smallest size since 1940, with active duty soldiers reducing in size from the current 520,520 to 440,000. Smallest Army since 1940. This is at a time when Russia is on the move. They're also getting rid of the A-10, which I told you about. You know what the A-10 is? It's a tank killer. They got rid of it a few months ago, just before Russia put all those tanks on the border with Ukraine. Obama got rid of the A-10 attack aircraft. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Cutting the Navy, cutting the Army, cutting the Air Force. While building up food stamps, granting amnesty to illegal aliens, making sure that your child knows how to put a condom on a cucumber, and that all of the agenda of the New World perverts is put into place. Hope you've enjoyed the show thus far. For the rest of Flyover Country, there's another big hour right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Like the word, like a slave on deep. Here come Tuesday.
Here come Tuesday. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-472-82. If you just tuned in, I cannot review what I have discussed on the program. For those of you who have been with me for 2 hours, 1 hour, half an hour, 15 minutes, or whatever, you can join the conversation by dialing 855-472-82. I tell you, they're not calling. I don't get it. I only have lots of callers jammed, can't get to them. Now it's like meek lights. And I did a good show. Can I have a round of applause for myself out there? If you like what I've done so far, and you're so awed by my insights and brilliance and delivery, would you please applaud? Thank you very much. I can see it and hear it. I thought that's what it is. You're awed by me, and that's why you're not calling. You're so tired of the drug-addicted drivel that you hear in the media that you're shocked by what you hear on this show. Okay. Does new poll show Democrats might keep control of Senate? Okay, here we go again. The reverse now propaganda starts to come out. A just-released poll shows Democrats tied with the leading Republicans in key red state Senate races, boosting morale on the left, but it's a bit early for election forecasting models to pay much heed. That's according to an NBC Marxist poll of key red states. NBC Marxist poll. They call it Marist. I call it Marxist. All these polls are such frauds. It's unbelievable. It's all propaganda. NBC. And same people who brought you Al Sharpton did a very fair objective poll. Those who gave you Al Sharpton are telling you what to think. The survey put out by the NBC Marxist poll shows Democrat candidates even with blah, blah, blah. I don't pay attention to polls. Then you look at the bottom, because I know math. I have a PhD, which includes a portion in epidemiology. They don't even tell you how many they're looking at anymore. They don't even give you the poll numbers. They don't even show you what number of people were looked at with a plus or minus anymore. They just make the whole thing up and say, poll. One stone drug addict who didn't go to a party last night did a poll in his toilet last night for NBC and the Marxists. And they go, oh, Republicans might win, right. Who knows what's going to win? I know the Republicans are likely to lose because they're going to alienate. If they grant amnesty in August, it's over. I wouldn't vote for them. That's the end. They vote for amnesty. I'm not voting at all. I won't vote. Armed men in eastern Ukraine opened fire on crowd. Armed men identified as Ukrainian National Guard opened fire suddenly in a crowd outside a town hall in eastern Ukraine. An official for the region's insurgents said they were fatalities. So you don't read that in your local paper, because right now Ukraine's good, Russians bad. It's just the way it plays. Animal Farm. Russians bad, Ukrainians good. Ukrainian fascists still good. It's like rebels in Syria still good, even though they're Al-Qaeda and they hate America. We're sending them arms, and McCain wants us to arm them. McCain wants us to arm eastern Ukrainian, even though most of them are fascists who are doing these things. That's all. Ukrainian separatist leader says looking the union with Russia. That's western Ukraine. There was a vote which you wouldn't know about. Did you know that? There was a vote, actually, in Donetsk. Donetsk! Donetsk! I won't tell. Anger, confusion in Donetsk after rebel vote. They're calling them rebels now, the Associated Press, another communist outlet. Donetsk, and I won't tell you about Donetsk. Anger, confusion in Donetsk after rebel vote. A day after the people of Donetsk apparently voted overwhelmingly, apparently here, overwhelming, that's like saying apparently voted. That's because it wasn't controlled by Obama and others. Apparently voted overwhelmingly to split from Ukraine and join Russia. An eerie calm reigned on the streets as people wondered what country they had woken up in. Unlike a similar referendum in the peninsula of Crimea annexed by Russia in March, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, if a vote occurs that they don't like, they say it didn't happen. It's an apparent vote. That's why when the leader of Ukraine was overthrown by the European Union and the U.S., it wasn't really an overthrow because they didn't like him. Reminds me of the fifth grade. I remember I won the election as class president. The teacher declared the election void because she didn't like me. I swear to God, that's when I knew what fascism was and what democracy was. I was the most popular kid in the class. Yeah, Michael, we won it for president. So I was class president. She said the election is now canceled. And she said, we're having a new election, he can't run. I immediately knew what fascism was. I swear to God. It was unbelievable. You learn everything by the fifth grade. Well, you have pimples, you know everything. Get clear skin for prom 2014. Enjoy your big night with clearer skin or your money back. Get free shipping now. I've seen it for children 9 years old. I can't read Yahoo News. It's so biased. It's sickening. New poll shows Democrats might keep control of Senate. This is for 11-year-old kids with pimples who use pimple cream. Christian Science Monitor. Yeah, right. Christian Science Monitor. Sure. Very reliable source. What else is in the news? You don't want the news. You want my insights, not the news. You can get the news anywhere. I have all new websites that I go to now. I've been searching for new You know what I'm watching in news over the weekend? I can't stop watching RU, Russian news. I turned off every other channel. I won't watch Fox anymore. I'm so tired of it. It's so predictable. Some of them do a good job. Brett Baer did a nice job on the NSA spying the other night. The others are boring, like the girls. I mean, how many times do I have to say leg crosses? Big deal. Oh, look, she has lipstick and legs. Look at that. Oh, how wonderful. Makes us smart. Well, then the five idiots sit around with the five. Ugh. One joke after another. Not funny. The act is over already. You know what I mean? They'd be thrown out of the lounge in Las Vegas if they were doing that act over and over again. Same day, the five of them with that fat slob, the Democrat. So I watch Russian news now. I don't know. It's refreshingly intelligent. Doesn't mean I have to agree with their propaganda viewpoint, but doesn't mean I have to agree with CNN's propaganda viewpoint, do I? Intellectually appealing Russian news. So different, the education level. So different than what we have in this country. There's zero education. Society of Professional Journalists. No such thing. It's an oxymoron. Professional and journalist in the same sentence. That's like saying honest politician in San Francisco. Society of Honest Politicians in San Francisco. There was a meeting. No one showed up. Let's see what I got on a new website here. I'm not interested in this either. Nanny State of the Week. Failure of Maryland Obamacare exchange. Not interested. Welfare fraud. I don't care because they're not going to stop it. President Obama speaks to whatever. You get the picture. There's nothing interesting. Medicare fraud. $97 million for mentally ill patients to watch movies and play games. They must be talking about Congress, right? Medicare fraud, $97 million for mentally ill patients to watch movies and play games. Sounds like Congress. Mentally ill patients watching movies and playing games. Congress. Can't say that. You can't talk about it. Fleet of Obama choppers to cost $20 billion. You hear this? He's building himself new choppers. I don't mean front teeth. That's helicopters. Cost $20 billion. I mean, for teeth, it would be a lot of money. President Obama has ordered a fleet of 23 presidential helicopters that will cost taxpayers $20 billion. Although the program won't deliver the Obama choppers until 2020, typical military-industrial complex delays, they were named after the president because he ordered them. It also was a no-bid contract. $20 billion while cutting the military to the bone. And the Osprey, I'm sure, is being polished right now to bring Bo the dog to Martha's Vineyard this summer. He flies in Air Force One. She flies in Air Force Two. The dog doesn't fly with them, which I don't understand. That worries me. That's got a connotation I don't like. And they flew the dog on an Osprey helicopter to Martha's Vineyard last summer. Unbelievable. What else is in the news? I'm not interested that much in voting and politics right now. It's not that. I'm interested in like lifestyle questions, like I've been touching on. Pope, wealth, I like that. Defense cuts, I like. I mean, I like talking about it, not that I like them. I like idiocy, as that exemplified by Nancy Pelosi the minute she speaks. She wakes up in the morning, people start to laugh. See, if this woman had a reality show, A Day in the Life of Nancy Pelosi, the biggest viewership in history, would make the Kardashians look like beginners. To see that woman from the morning, from the minute she gets out of bed, wow. When she speaks, people are entertained. All that fluid coming out of the mouth, sucking candies. Families of two Benghazi victims don't want more investigations. It's a stunt. But people are tired of Benghazi. Okay, Neil, let's play clip three, and we'll have the reality show called Pelosi Incorporated in clip three.
American people care about jobs. They care about their families and their education of their children and the health of their families and that. As somebody said to me yesterday, either people have gotten tired of Benghazi or they never knew about it in the first place.
That's no reason not to investigate who let them die, Nancy. You're a public servant. Doesn't matter what the morons think. What do you mean people? What do you care about the people? You're an elitist, a part of the New World Order. You don't care about the people. What do you mean the people? What do they know? The people don't know how to wash their own teeth. They have to be told how to wash their own teeth in the morning with the people. So now let's listen next in the reality show called A Day in the Life of Nancy Pelosi, clip 4.
So let's not be accomplices to this diversionary tactic. It's all subterfuge because they don't want to talk about what our responsibilities are here.
Well, Ms. Pelosi, one of your responsibilities is to explain how an ambassador got killed. That's one of your responsibilities, to explain who gave the orders to the military to stand down. That's as important as teaching people how to brush their teeth. And listen to number 5 now.
The speaker says he doesn't want it to go that place. I hope that he, that's how it will go. And when I speak with him, we'll see. But again, we've been there, done that. Why are we doing this again?
Because it's a
cover-up. Why are we doing this again?
Because it's a cover-up, Nancy. It's like Watergate. If the Republicans had said to you during Watergate, why are you doing it again? They were trying to get to the truth of Watergate. So people want the truth on Benghazi. That's all. You can only cover for Hillary so long. You know, it's like skirt to skirt. We understand it. You know, woman is good, man is bad. You know, dancing with the stars here. Now listen to clip 1 and 2 back to back. This is too good to believe.
The fact is this is a stunt. This is a political stunt.
No, you're stunted.
The fact that,
you're stunted.
It's damaged goods. They had to move from him to another venue with
You've
another
been
chairman.
Good since birth.
That's what this is. We've been there, done this over and over again.
Yeah,
it's very
right.
sad.
Costa
Chris
Fuzzle.
Stevens, Glenn Doherty, Sean Smith.
Yeah, right.
Tyrone Woods.
Yeah, you know their names.
Two of their families have called us and said, please don't
Who?
Take us down this
Who?
Path
Name
again.
Them. Name them.
It's really hard for them. It's very sad.
She's crying for the victims of Benghazi, but she doesn't want to investigate why they died. It's interesting. She knows their names, Stevens, Doherty, Smith, Woods. And she knows their names, but it's not important to find out why they died. Why, who gave the thumbs down order on the military to rescue them? That's fine. Really odd. Really odd. Really, really odd. Really odd. As I said to you, I don't like zucchini very much. I don't like eggplant very much. I especially despise okra. I don't like okra. I don't like any of those vegetables. And I don't like liars in the media. And I don't like liars in politics. I can ask you whether you believe her. You know that she's making it up out of whole cloth. What's happened to this country? Is everyone dead? Have you been drugged out of your minds? Are you overconfident in the ability of these liars to save this country from what's coming? I don't you understand. I can ask. All right, whatever. 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 You can believe who you want. Right now, you're believing me because you're listening to me, or you wouldn't even be listening to me, see? You could say you're listening to me because you want to ridicule me and see how wrong I am. But you're really saying something else to yourself. The reason you're listening to me is there's no one else you believe. You say, I heard so much about that guy. Let's hear what he's got to say. Say, wait a minute. I actually believe the guy. I can never say it to anyone I know because I'm a member of the party. I carry a party card. I have a red party card. I believe in. You have a whole list of things you believe in. I believe in global warming. I believe in fairness. I believe in the rights of immigrants. I believe in the rights of gays. I believe in the rights of women. I believe in the rights of dogs. I believe in the rights of cats. I believe in the rights of undertakers. I believe in the rights of the sun. I believe in the rights of the moon, but I don't believe in the rights of the American people. I'm a member of the party. But somehow you know it's not true, so you listen to me to hear what I got to say. Oh, I ran up against a time clock thing here. I'm going strong. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Attention all you red wine lushes out there. A lot of people drink red wine, they say it's for their health. You know, oh, it's not because I like to get drunk. It's the red wine that has resveratrol. I don't know, it has health ingredients. Well, sorry to bring you down, but a study just came out Monday in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. The magic ingredient in red wine might not help you live longer after all. For years, the antioxidant was said to have all sorts of incredible anti-aging effects, right? Linking it to lower rates of disease, cancer, blah, blah, blah. So all you drank red wine. Oh, I'll have red wine. You think, ooh, great, I'll eat rabbit. And it was told as a A possible explanation for the so-called French paradox, why France had low rates of heart disease despite relatively high intakes of saturated fats and cholesterol. Well, guess what? Right? Latest study tracked nearly 800 elderly Italians for 11 years, measuring the levels of resveratrol in their urine. Now, anyone could track 800 Italians and test the levels of anything in the urine without getting killed. I don't understand, but they did. Hey, I busted your face. What do you want to look at my urine for? Anyway, they tracked nearly 800 elderly Italians for 11 years, measuring levels of this magic ingredient from the red wine, and the results, resveratrol levels were not predictive of inflammatory markers, cardiovascular disease, or cancer, or predictive of all-cause mortality, close quote. In other words, it had no impact on overall health or longevity, period. So it's another study. And so, therefore, don't drink red wine thinking you're doing yourself a favor. Oh, I'll have red wine for dinner. No, it's because you want to get drunk. That's, enjoy it. I mean, you like a good glass of red wine. Don't think you're saving your life with it. You know, whatever goes up must come down. So if you're lowering your risk of this, you're increasing your risk of that. You're increasing your risk of liver cancer. You know what I'm saying? There's no getting out of this life alive. You know that by now, right? You know that. That's a guarantee. And that's it. So if you don't like red wine, don't drink it. You like red wine, drink it. Stop thinking you're drinking it and you're going to save your life. French paradox. Why France had low rates of heart disease despite high intakes of saturated fats and cholesterol. I can give you the answer to the French paradox. Not to do with red wine. Much of the French food is much fresher than that in America. It's almost all farm grown. They have an almost religious fanaticism against using pesticides on their vegetables. So the levels of B6 in particular are much higher in the vegetables in France than they are in the United States of America. B6 is very protective against atherosclerosis. This is Michael Savage. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be known.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
But I'm concerned that we've not pushed the Europeans hard enough to take a firmer line against the Russians. And our allies in the region are scared to death. What Putin is doing is making the world less safe, and certainly making Europe less safe.
Okay, so there's John Boehner, Clink. He's on message with the War Party. The War Party is both parties. They're tied into the government media complex, the military-industrial complex, and they want possibly a limited engagement with Russia, because just think how good that would be for the defense stocks. Just think about rearmament, what that would mean. I mean, in between putting transgenders on submarines, they might actually build a new weapon. In between putting women into submarines and taking out torpedo tubes so they can have new showers, they might actually have to build, let's say, a stealth submarine or whatever. So now you understand that there's no difference between the main parties. Again, they're demonizing Putin and Russia, when in fact the reverse is true. It's the U.S. and the EU that pushed Russia to become militant. Make no mistake about it. That's the way it is. I don't care what the propagandists are reporting. I'm telling you how I see it. Now, Rand Paul sold out over the weekend. I told you to watch out for that character. I didn't trust him. I know he was a darling of the wall banger and others in the media, but I warned you he was a sneak. Rand Paul gave an interview to the Old York Times on Friday where he said, voter ID is offending people. Quote, he said, everybody's gone completely crazy on this voter ID thing, Paul told the New York Times. He said, I think it's wrong for Republicans to go too crazy on this issue because it's offending people. So he thought he'd curry favor with the black activists and the Hispanic activists. Instead, they told him to go to hell, in plain English. They said, we don't care what you said. You're not the right person for that message. We're not giving you any credence whatsoever. So in other words, he violated all the principles upon which he allegedly stands. He says that voter ID laws are wrong. He says the Republicans shouldn't push the voter ID law thing. He says the American people are wrong for caring about voter ID. And then he says he goes before black pastors and they say, you know what, we don't care what you say. We don't like you. This should teach you that you can't appease your enemy. Never. Wait, it gets even better. Eleanor Clift, you may not know her. She's an old hag who used to work for Time magazine, a real left-wing fanatic from the get-go. I had an interchange with her on television in the 90s. She's a nobody. She's apparently still alive. or they got her with some new medication. They got her out of the crypt. Some kind of new injection of a rat's serum. And she was on the McLaughlin group. And she says that Chris Stevens, the ambassador to Benghazi, to Libya, was not murdered. He died of smoke inhalation. And it's all because of the YouTube video. Okay? Now we'll let that sit there. The liberal fascists have almost completed their takeover of the entire world with the liberal revolution. There are only a few impediments. One is the Second Amendment, as I was just saying. And on a national level, the only thing that stands in their way of a complete domination of the world is Russia, which is why they forced Russia into a corner thinking that Russia would capitulate to Ukraine becoming a part of NATO and then putting NATO troops on Russia's border to further push Russia back within its own borders. But they didn't count on Putin's strength. They didn't count on Putin's nationalism, and they didn't count on the fact that Putin would say, no, I'm not rolling over to Barack Obama and the degenerate perverts in the Brussels establishment. The child molesters in Brussels and Obama together may have crushed the whole world, but they're not crushing me. That's what Putin thought. So were it not for Russia, there'd be a worldwide liberal revolution that would be complete right now. The emerging new Soviet Union is liberal today. Say, liberal doesn't mean the same thing, does it? It does. It means exactly the same thing. It means government control of everything you think, everything you say, everything you eat, everything you breathe, everything you drink, controlled by a centralized power. That's what the liberal revolution means. Centralized power. No individual liberties. So they confuse you into thinking that if you can have sex with anybody that you want at any time, you're free. What you don't understand is they've enslaved you with this free sex. They've enslaved you by telling you that your freedom consists of sexuality only, while in all other spheres you have almost no freedom. You're a complete and total drone. You are watched all the time. You're spied upon all the time. You are suspicious. You are looked upon suspiciously by the centralized government all the time. The only thing they allow you to have is sexual freedom. And then they drug you if you get nervous. If you get even a hint that you really are a slave in the New World Order, they drug you to death. Your anxiety is called this, your anxiety is called that. They drug our boys. Primarily our boys are put on these psychoactive compounds. The government that we have right now is the closest thing I've ever seen to a criminal enterprise in my lifetime. I mean, I know governments are all powerful and overbearing. We understand that's what a government means. They boss you around, they tell you what to do. But there are relatively benign, relatively mildly corrupt governments that have checks in place for their corruption. And then what we have now under Obama is sort of free for all of criminality. What would you call a $1 billion loan to someone in the solar business who doesn't produce anything but a kilowatt? Don't you understand how this is working? And so we're very close to a nation that's being taken over by what? And when are the people going to stand up, and what will happen when they do? If you read the history of Sicily as produced by Giuseppe Bonanno or Joe Bananas, boss of one of the five families of New York, he wrote it in his own autobiography, A Man of Honor, what the whole story was about the self-defense leagues that became the mafia in Sicily. In essence, they were standing up to a government that was corrupt and overbearing. And then that didn't really help very much because they were not that interested in the idea of nationhood. I'm reading what Bonanno wrote. The concept of nationhood never stirred them deeply. It was a vague concept that required men to give their highest loyalty to an abstract entity, the nation, rather than to their families, which were flesh and blood. It would require men to fight foreign wars on behalf of the national state, to fight strangers for whom one had never received a personal affront or injury, to fight people one didn't even know. And then he writes this. Sicilians are among the most idealistic people on earth, but they are not abstract. They like things on a human scale. They believe in personal, not abstract honor. And then he goes into the story of insurrections against the dominant cultures. And they created an organization under Garibaldi called the Red Shirts, creating a volunteer army to liberate Sicily from the invaders. I don't know if you know it, but Sicily was invaded numerous times, which is why the Sicilian people are such a tapestry, genotypically ranging from tall, blue-eyed, blonde-haired individuals from when the Vikings conquered the island to other, genotypes. And so, he says, Italy was the last major country in Europe to be unified under a native ruler. I mean, I could talk about Boko Haram, I could do the wall banger, go on and on about how bad it was that they wouldn't declare it to be terrorism. Ah, come on, leave me alone. You want to do baby talk, turn on the wall banger. Let them nail some plasterboard to your brain. You want to listen to someone put plasterboard on your brain, listen to the wall banger. How easy can it be to talk about, the abducted schoolgirls, like he's going to do something. Let him go strap a uniform on and parachute into the jungle. All the loudmouths, they're going to take on the school, the Boko Haram. They want your son to go die for them again. So I'd rather talk about this. So then the Italians, and the Sicilians rather, were dominated by foreign powers. And of course they didn't like them. And I read this again. This is amazing. I didn't know any of this. And what it is they put together organizations to defend themselves against the foreign invaders, the tough guys of that time. And I'll read what Bonanno said in his book, A Man of Honor. He says, in my grandfather's time, Sicily was under the dominance of the Bourbon dynasty, a royal family of Spanish and French ancestry. Italy itself was like a jigsaw puzzle with the pieces owned by various powers. And then he talks about what happened. Garibaldi catalyzed the unification movement by enlisting a volunteer army to liberate Sicily. Listen carefully, please. These volunteers, a motley crew of idealists and zealots, wore a distinctive garb and became known as the Red Shirts. In 1860, Garibaldi's enthusiastic band, some 1,000 strong, landed in Marsala on the west coast of Sicily. Although the Red Shirts were vastly outnumbered by the Bourbon army, they had the backing of the populace. And he talks about his grandfather, who sided with Garibaldi in order to overthrow the hated Bourbons. And then he said the ranks of the Red Shirts also swelled with Sicilian youngsters, the Picciotti, the young ones. What happened then? Well, there's how they fought against the Bourbons and won. And then Garibaldi wanted to forge an Italian national state which had never existed. What happened, though, is that there was no nationhood. They got rid of the House of Bourbon only to make themselves subject to the House of Savoy. One ruler departs, another takes his place, Bonanno writes. And what am I trying to tell you? You get rid of the House of Obama and you replace it with the House of Boehner, what happens then? One rulership departs, another rulership takes its place. Tell me the big difference right now between the Obamaites and the other side. Tell me the difference that it would make in this country. If the Republicans are about to throw the country to the wolves of illegal aliens and destroy our sovereignty with a breath, telling the people to drop dead, we don't care what you think, then we've lost our democracy already. So if the Republicans are ready to do it this August, and why do you think Boehner, the sellout, the drunk, whatever you want to call him, is suddenly saying we must pass amnesty in August? Because you'll be asleep. Either you'll be in summer camp or the summer camp of your mind. It's usually the August at the Hotel Savage in August. And everyone's asleep. And these corrupt politicians will cater to the illegal aliens, the Better Business Bureau, in order to make certain that there's cheap labor. Not caring really who wins, because it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which party really wins. That's only to excite you into thinking it matters. When you see Rand Paul already selling out over the week, what difference does it make? I would like to believe that the Republicans are slightly less corrupt, slightly more patriotic, but they aren't. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What a day this has been. I mean, this is an amazing day. Some days, I never say there's a slow news day in the Savage Nation. Today, it's like a deluge. We can't keep up with it. Let me give you an example of what we did today. I'm going to read you some of the audio sound bites from the day to give you some idea of the flavor of excitement that I have for this show and the danger we're in from this, I hate to use the word liberal, from this worldwide conspiracy to destroy our sovereignty. The leaders being Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi. They want to crush our sovereignty. Did you know that the feds released hundreds of immigrant murderers, drunk drivers, and sex crimes convicts? Immigration officials knowingly released dozens of murderers back into the U.S. in 2013. Why would Pelosi and company do this? Why would they give us the sob story every day about immigrants who come here to work when they release so many domestic violence convictions, sex crimes convictions. They've even released four that the statistics listed as treason and sabotage. These illegal immigrants were in deportation proceedings, meaning ICE was trying to remove them from the country. Could have held them in detention, but was shocked to report to you that they released them. Why would the administration release murderers, rapists, drunk drivers, convicts who were here for treason and sabotage? My friends, I give up. I wrote The Enemy Within a long time ago. But you don't want to believe that somebody who speaks like you, talks like you, and walks like you, and sounds that he cares for you in this country, could be that evil. I do. Pelosi got up and had the nerve over the weekend to say that families of two Benghazi victims don't want more investigations, but she won't give us their names. Pelosi's trying to cover this up because somebody that she knows is very guilty. By the way, it gets even worse. In England, a Muslim says that they must humiliate Christians to convert them to Islam. They must not be allowed to wear the same clothes as one another. Don't greet the Jews and Christians before they greet you. And when you meet any of them on the road, force them to go on the narrow side of it. In other words, push them off the street. If you run into an infidel, tell them that they're animals and treat them like animals. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea you're in the midst of the greatest war of your life? I'll continue. If a Muslim comes out on a Muslim holy day and sees an infidel with nice clothes, the infidel must take his clothes off and give them to the Muslim. When an infidel walks down the street, he has to wear a red belt around his neck. He has to have his forehead shaved. And he has to wear two shoes that are different from one another. I'm not making this up. It's a Muslim preacher, a British Islamist. He's not banned in England, by the way. Yours truly, Michael Savage, is banned. First Lady Michelle Obama gave a weekly address on the tragic kidnapping in Nigeria, but her husband will not send drones to look for them. Boehner wants more activity against Russia. He's saying Russia is making Europe unsafe. Boehner, the Republicans, the Democrats are the war party. Hagel, our defense secretary, says that the military transgender ban should be reviewed. In a time like this, he's more concerned about transgenders in the military than he is with the readiness of our troops. Does it get any worse? Yes. Oh, yeah, it gets worse. You didn't want to hear any more? I'll give you a little more anyway. Over the weekend, Rand Paul sold out. He said voter ID is offending people. He distanced himself from those of us in America who know that unless we enforce voter ID laws, we're finished. Rand Paul went before the vermin at the New York Times and told them, oh, everybody's gone completely crazy on this voter ID thing. I think it's wrong for Republicans to go too crazy on this issue because it's offending people. This is what Rand Paul told the New York Times. Okay, put an X through Rand Paul. Meanwhile, that old hag, Eleanor Clift, I don't know if you remember her. She was on the McLaughlin Group. She said that Chris Stevens, the Benghazi ambassador, was not murdered. He died of smoke inhalation. And she blamed the YouTube video, a lifer. It gets worse. The United Kingdom Guardian newspaper said that the kidnappings of Nigerian Christian girls by Boko Haram, the Muslim fanatic murderers, is owing to climate change. Didn't make it up. I swear to God. I didn't make it up. I'm telling you, this is what we're living through. You want more? Can you take more? U.S. military's transgender ban may now be endangered. I told you that already. We'll listen to it again. Shall I give you a little more bad news? Because there's plenty of it. Plenty of it. Here's one last story for you to take home tonight before you turn over in your grave. A group of illegal aliens were invited to Capitol Hill to demand amnesty through executive orders by the Commander-in-Chief, Barack Obama. Illegal aliens and an immigration attorney gave a list of 14 things Obama could do to provide amnesty to multimillions without congressional approval, and they insisted on it. I'm telling you, the country has been taken over. It's not good news, but it is news. It's the Savage Nation. I guess normal people now turn their radios off and go on and do other things. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.